Jesus tonight. Praise God. You love the Lord, don't you? And again, I'll say this. I know we had some people come in didn't hear announcements. On Saturday, we're starting a financial series, Walking in Biblical Prosperity. I'm telling you what, that series has changed so many people's lives financially. It's changed my life, learning about what God has for us, how to do it, praise God. So you don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. Well, the word is good. If you have your Bibles, go to Mark chapter 10 in verse 46. You know, we endeavor to seek God and to follow Him, you know, and find out, Lord, what do You want us to share? I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. You know, I don't know how other people do it, if they do any, mini, miny, mo in the Bible, but I don't do that. You know, I seek God. Lord, what do You want to say? What do You want to say? And I love when I get prompted by the Holy Ghost to speak on faith. Amen. I love preaching on faith. Why? Faith is our part. Let me say it again. I said, faith is our part. And we better become skillful in our part, because there's so many things that rest on our faith and rely on our faith. So that's what we're going to be sharing along the lines of tonight at the Holy Ghost's urging. Praise God. So, Father, help us. Lord, we need help tonight, and You're the great helper. You're the need meter. We thank You for it. Father, I thank You. You're going to speak to us. You're going to say something to us tonight, Lord, that's going to change our future. That we're not going to walk out of here the same. We're going to walk out of here different. Now, Father, that's available and possible because You're here tonight. The great Jesus Christ is here tonight. And He didn't go places and not bring change with Him, not bring help with Him, not bring victory with Him, not bring blessing with Him. So, Father, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we receive all of what You have for us tonight. We say we're hungry, we're expectant, we're ready to receive. So, Father, I thank You. I open my mouth. You're going to fill it, Father, and we're going to walk out of here changed. And, Lord, You'll always get the glory. You'll always get the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise God. I can't wait this Saturday. I have another testimony for you. I just got to make sure. They gave me the testimony, but I want to make sure that I can share their name before I say it. And I believe I can, but it's a good one. It's a Mark chapter 5, woman with the issue of blood testimony. I'm telling you, we're just getting these testimonies left and right because we're contending for it. We're contending. I mean, it's not some, shouldn't be some crazy thing, miracle signs and wonders. And you know what, if I can get you to cooperate with me and start telling people about this place and telling people that God's doing stuff and people that you know that are sick and say, hey, you know, just like I told that guy that on that I mentioned on Saturday that got healed of cancer. He was diagnosed with lymphoma in May, and I pulled him into my office. He looked nervous and sad, you know, like, this is a heavy load. That's a lot to hear, you know. And I pulled him into the office, and the first thing I said to him is, I said, Vern, I said, God's bigger than this cancer, and God's going to heal this cancer. Well, that was in May, and now here we are in August, and he got a doctor's report a couple weeks ago that says they can't find it anymore. Well, we prayed and believed God. He believed the word. And so people need to hear this stuff. Praise God. So help me out here. We need to get more people in here and because their lives need it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. I want to read this. And we have a specific, just like on Saturday, we had a specific area that we looked at when it came to faith. And we looked at patience and faith, right? Well, tonight we're going to look at another area. But Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, it says, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calls you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what will you that I should do unto you? Or an easier way to read that would be, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, your faith. Everybody say his faith. His faith made him whole. And he immediately received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Praise God. Now, I love this story here. You can get so much out of this story concerning faith, but we don't have time for so much. We have time for one much. And so we're going to look at one thing here tonight. And I love what he says to him. He says, your faith made you whole. Well, that means that we can look at the faith of this man named blind Bartimaeus and learn some things from his faith that can make our situations that lack, make our situations whole, right? Because Jesus, he didn't say, blind Bartimaeus, it's because of me, it's because of what I wanted to do today, it's because it was your lucky day. No, he said, faith can do this. Faith can make things whole that aren't whole. What do you got that's not whole in your life? What do you got that's not working out so well? What do you got that's not looking like heaven on earth? Faith can make that thing whole. But what I love about this here is he asks him, go back to verse 51. It's interesting that a blind man would come to Jesus and Jesus would know that he's blind. And Jesus answered and said, what do you want me to do for you? Now, that's a pretty broad, general, big question. Or you could read it this way, because, and I can be confirmed in saying this, because when he told Jesus what he wanted, guess what he got? Exactly what he told Jesus he wanted. Now, there was so much there that obviously we know what he needed, but Jesus didn't just assume what he needed. He asked him, what do you want? Why? Because Jesus can't just do anything. You know the portion of scripture that really shows us this, not only in Mark 6, but remember when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead? And as they were going in Mark chapter 5, Jairus came to him and said, my daughter's at the point of death, you know, she hadn't died yet. Will you come and heal her? Jesus said, I will. He starts going that way, and the woman with the issue of blood interrupts the whole thing, right? Jesus takes time and ministers to her. He says, daughter, verse 34 of Mark chapter 5, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace, be whole of thy plague. And then it says, as soon as he said that, the rulers of the synagogue came and said, your daughter's dead, don't trouble the master any further. And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe. Jesus rebuked that right away and said, I can't have you in fear, Jairus. Well, evidently Jesus would need the faith of the dad to go in and heal the daughter. Well, in Matthew chapter 15, he needed the faith of the mom to heal the woman that was grievously vexed to the devil. No doubt Jesus didn't want that little girl grievously vexed to the devil, but he couldn't heal her without mom's faith. And Jesus needed Jairus keeping faith, and then he went in and he kicked out all the unbelievers. Well, if he could just do whatever he want, but he can't. So he's asking blind Bartimaeus, what do you want, blind Bartimaeus? And remember I sent y'all Pastor Mike's slick text today? Did y'all get that slick text? What if God gave you a blank check? You know what God handed Jesus here today? Here's a blank check, blind Bartimaeus. You fill it in. I'm giving you a blank check for the power of God. What do you need it for, blind Bartimaeus? And blind Bartimaeus went, my sight. Jesus cashed that check and he got it. Amen. Amen. And I said, what if God gave you a blank check? He did give you a blank check. It's called faith. Real quick, go to Romans 12 and verse 3. Hallelujah. What do you want, blind Bartimaeus? What do you want? Well, you know what? If you'd have said, I need this. Jesus said, okay, be it done unto your faith. Well, I need this for my finances. Okay, that's what you filled it in for. Sure. Amen. Romans 12 and verse 3 says, for I say, though the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. What's he saying? I've given everybody a measure. Well, how many of you know you have measuring cups, you have measuring spoons and things like that? What's that tell you? Different amounts. But he's given everybody a measure of faith, and we know he's no respecter of persons, so the measure of faith he deals out to everybody is the same. But we know, we don't have time to teach on the measure of faith, but we know that the Bible talks about different measures of faith. We see great faith. We see little faith, small faith. We see no faith. We see different measures of faith. And we know how to get more faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. We can increase our measure of faith, right? But Jesus said, your faith did this. Your faith did something great. I said, what do you want? You filled it in. Now, faith is like a blank check. Go to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. This will show you that faith is like a blank check. Jesus didn't just assume it, and Jesus just didn't do it just because he needed his sight. He needed blind Bartimaeus to fill it in. Remember the story Brother Hagin tells about the woman that came up and got her ears healed? Remember that? And I don't remember if he called it out or if he was having just a general healing. And she came up and told him all the hearing loss that she had. Well, he ministered to her ears. And when he said in the name of Jesus, whatever he said, be free, be healed, whatever, however it came out that night, she did. Her ears opened up and she could hear and she was excited and rejoicing about it. Remember that? God healed her ears. She came up. I don't know if he just had a healing anointing or called out for ears or whatever, but a healing anointing was there, and she knew it, and she had faith and came up for it. And she got it. But remember what happened? She started limping back to her seat. And he said, sister, what's wrong? And remember what she said? She said, oh, I've been having hip problems. And Brother Hagin thought, well, you just got your ears healed. Why don't you come up and get your hip healed? So fun to walk with a limp. And remember what she said to him out loud in front of everybody in the church. She said, ah, I can live with this. Well, here's what and she did. She had to live with it. Well, here's what was interesting. She came up with faith for her ears that were a problem, but her hip was a problem as well. The power of God hit her. Do you think the power of God could have taken care of that hip problem? Of course. But she came up for faith for her ears, had no faith for her hip, and walked away with a hip problem. Why? Faith's like a blank check. If I hand you, well, maybe you don't want my bank account. We'll use Donald Trump's. He's got a good bank account. And he hands you a blank check and says, fill it in, and you filled in for $100. He said, fill it in for whatever amount you want. And he tells you, you know, there's an amount you can't go over. Billions that would be, but whatever. He says, fill it in. Mike Ant, pay to the owner, Mike Anderson, 100.00. That'd be stupid. But you know what? I would write that check and I'd go to the bank. And even though there was so much more potential with that check, even though there was so much more possibility for me to write in there and cash that thing, they're only going to give me $100. Because that's all I wrote on that check. That woman came up for ears. That's all she got. That's why Jesus is asking, blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? Here's your blank check. Fill it in. He filled it in for his eyes and he got it. Amen. Amen. And Jesus said it was your faith. So evidently he had faith for that and filled it out. Well, faith is like a blank check. What do you mean? Well, Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible. To him that has faith. Faith is like a blank check. Faith can take care of all things. There's nothing too big you're facing. There's nothing too hard. There's nothing too far gone. There's nothing too difficult. There's nothing impossible that you're facing right now. In the natural it might be, but in God's mind, his power that flows through your faith can take care and obliterate and turn any situation, turn any problem, fix any sickness, fix any financial thing, fix anything with children, anything in the mind, anything in the body. It can fix it all. He said, all things are possible to him that has faith. So he gives people faith, which is a blank check. And he says, now fill it in. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, here's what I want to help you with filling that in. Go back with me to Mark chapter 10 and go to verse 51. And casting away, he said unto Jesus, Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said. Now, Remember, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What's that? What do you need? What do you want? What do you need? What do you have a desire for? What's going on in your life, right? And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Now, why am I saying this to you? Faith is a blank check. It's offered to us. But you know what the pen is? Your tongue and your words are the pen. What told Jesus, you know, we talk about this. This is good. I've not seen this like this. It's true. He had an act of faith by throwing away his garment. That was an act of faith. Because that was a government-issued thing that showed that he wasn't just a swindler, you know, or a scam artist. He actually really couldn't make a living, so they put this special cloak on him that when people go by, they know they're giving into someone that needs it. Evidently, they had scam artists back then, and when he cast off his garment before he received his sight, that was a faith action that I'm going there to receive my sight, right? But him coming to Jesus, that faith action didn't get him healed. Because you can't have faith without words. Faith without works is dead, but the spirit of faith, in 2 Corinthians 4:13, the vital signs of faith is believing and speaking. Him going to Jesus was the believing part. Him opening his mouth was the speaking part. You can't have just the believing part. You have to have the speaking part. And even though he had faith to be healed, Jesus still said, what do you want me to do for you? And he opened his mouth. He said, here's the blank check. And he said, that I might receive my sight. You know what that is? He just wrote it with his tongue. Wrote it out. I want my sight. And he got it. Praise God. Your words are the pen that fills in the blank check. Go to Matthew 12, 34. You're going to see it even clearer. And I'm going to show you an example in the Old Testament. Matthew 12, 34. Hallelujah. Matthew 12, verse 34. Look what it says here. Actually, go down to verse 37. We'll look at 34 in a little bit. Verse 37 says, for by your words, everybody say, by my words, by what I say. Look what it says. With those words you're saying, you will be justified or you will be condemned. Well, Donald Trump gives me a blank check, and I said that the pen is like the words are the pen, and I take a literal pen, you know, to fill that in. By what I write in there, I'm going to be this much wealthy, this higher wealth, great wealth, or just stay the same. By what I write in there, your words either sentence yourself to a future of a certain thing, condemn yourself to future, or justify free and set you up for your future by your words. Why? God said, here's faith. Faith can do all things. If you can believe, all things are possible. Faith has the power and the potential to do all things if you can believe it. You have to fill in that blank check. He doesn't do it for you. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus, I know that you're blind and I know that you'd like to see, but what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Amen. Hallelujah. By your words. Are your words sentencing you to a life of sickness? Have you condemned yourself in the spiritual realm to a life of stress and anxiety and poverty and this situation? Because your words are either freeing you and catapulting you, or they're locking you up. That's what Jesus said. Now, you don't believe, I don't say you as in general, you know, go to Numbers 14, 28. Wait till you see this. Now, remember this, Numbers 14, 28, and I might backtrack here in a second, but by your words, well, I just thought being God's child, I'd walk into prosperity. Well, that's what he wants for you, but your words are going to condemn you or justify you and get you into that. Well, I just thought being God's child, you know, that he would just want me healed. He does want you healed, but by your words, you'll either get that healing or by your words, you won't. Really, that's a thing. It is. Numbers 14, 28. Now remember, this is the children of Israel. Came out of, you know, that great exodus out of Egypt. And what God say in Numbers 13? He said, I have a promised land for you. It's a good land, right? They went and checked out the land, and what'd they find? That there was opposition. Well, shocker. Shocker that there'd be opposition to what God wants for you. Yeah, it's called an enemy on this earth. Well, what happened, remember? Well, I'll just read it here in a little backtrack. But look what Numbers 14:28 says. Say unto them, the Lord says to Moses here, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears. Remember what Jesus said. By your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now, before you think, well, this can't line up, because what Jesus said was New Testament, and what this here is Old Testament. What Jesus said was Old Testament. No, it wasn't, Pastor Mike. Don't you know your Bible? It was in the book of Matthew. Matthew's New Testament. What Jesus said was Old Testament. He hadn't died and rose again yet. They were still operating under the old covenant when Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Jesus, what he said, brings light into this situation. Because the Lord said, as you have spoken, so will in my ears, so I'm going to do to you. Why? By your words. Faith's a blank check. What do you want? Well, what does he go on to say in verse 29? What does he mean, I'm going to do to you? Your carcasses are going to fall in the wilderness. And all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number from the 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, except Caleb and Joshua. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them I'll bring in, and they shall know the land which you despise. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness now, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms until the carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Wow. Is that what God wanted? No. What did God say to them? This land is your land. Praise God. Well, if you go back to Numbers 13, in verse 27, and they told him and said, we came in the land which you sent us, sure that flowed with milk and honey. This is the fruit of. Nevertheless, the people are strong in the land. What are they saying? We can't have this land because there's strong people in there. What are they doing? Writing their checks. They're writing a check they don't want cashed. And the cities are walled. What do they keep saying? Writing more checks, bad checks. They're writing bad checks now. The cities are walled. What's that mean? We can't get in. Oh. And very great. And moreover, we saw the children. He goes on to tell them all that they're there. And then you don't go down further, and what does it say? Grasshoppers in their sight. We can't have this land. Wah, wah, wah. And what does the Lord say in Numbers 14:28? As you have spoken in my ears, that's what I'm going to do. You said you can't have it, you ain't going to have it. You said you can't do it, you ain't going to do it. And Jesus sheds light on it. By your words will you be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. Why did Caleb Joshua get in? They spoke different. They spoke different. What did Caleb say? We can do this. Joshua said, we got this. Oh, it's interesting how our words matter. Praise God. I know we're thinking about some things we've been saying. You just keep condemning yourself. Keep sentencing yourself to poverty. And you know, what's a check that would sentence you to poverty writing? I just don't understand why it never works out for me. Oh, why would you say that? You just said it never works out for me. You know what that means? That it's never going to work out for you. Why? Because by your words are you justified. By your words are you condemned. Blind Bartimaeus, if he'd have stood before him and said, Lord, the arthritis in my shoulder. I have faith for arthritis in my shoulder. You know what Jesus would have done? Healed his shoulder. And guess what? He would have walked back? A healed shoulder, but still a blind man. By your words, by your faith, and blind Bartimaeus' faith, he showed Jesus, he wrote the check by saying, I want my healing for my eyes. Romans 10 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Oh, we could talk about what we say so much. It means so much. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes. You could say it this way. Throwing off his cloak and coming to Jesus showed belief. But he stood before Jesus after an act of faith, and Jesus still asked him, what do you want? What do you want, blind Bartimaeus? Why? Because it's not the believing alone that caused it to come to pass. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, or you could say with the heart man believes unto healing, unto prosperity, unto whatever you're believing God for. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, which is what? The promise. Brother Hagin used to say it this way, the confession brings the possession. You can't just believe in Jesus. You have to release your faith through your words. Blind Bartimaeus absolutely believed for his healing. He screamed at Jesus to stop him. And they're telling him, shut up, be quiet, blind man. Keep your peace. And he's crying louder and louder. What's him crying louder and louder show you? He believes that man's going to do something for him. And then he stops him and throws off his garment. That garment was precious to him. That was his livelihood. He's throwing that off saying, don't need that anymore. Government ain't going to issue this to a guy who can see. I don't need it anymore. And he did that before he could even see. And he got brought before Jesus. How scary with people telling him, be quiet. He absolutely demonstrated his faith. But with the heart, the belief doesn't bring the promise. The confession does. 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, we have in them the same spirit of faith. According as written, I believe, therefore I spoke. You know what your speaking does? It's proof of what's in your heart. With the heart, man believes, but with the mouth, it's seen. Amen. It's true. Remember I said that over in Matthew 12:34. What does it say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. If there's really faith in here, it'll show up here in your mouth. If there's really faith in your heart, it'll show up in your mouth. Why? It's a principle. Out of the abundance of the heart, there's a lot of faith in your heart, it'll show up in your mouth. Well, blind Bartimaeus showed that he had a lot in his heart, didn't he? He showed he had a lot of belief by what he did, but that belief spilled out of his mouth. What do you want? My sight. Praise God. Well, let me ask you right now, go to James chapter 3 while I'm asking you this. James chapter 3 and verse 2. What kind of checks are you writing? What kind of checks are you writing every day over your children? What kind of checks are you writing every day in your situation? Huh? What kind of checks are you writing? Praise God. Pull this up here real quick here. In James chapter 3, in verse 2, I guess I better get there over here. I want to read this here and share a few things out of this. It says, for in many things we offend all. One translation says we trip up. Many things we trip up or stumble. If any man offends not in word, the same is also a perfect man, able also to bridle or control the whole body. Now, I love what the Message Bible says about that verse. Listen to what it says. And none of us is perfectly qualified. We get it wrong nearly every time we open our mouths. If you could find someone whose speech was perfectly true, you'd have a perfect person in perfect control of life. Excuse me. And then it says in verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are turned about with a very small helm. Whithersoever the governor or wherever the captain listeth, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, this is what I want to show you, three things here as we're going forward here tonight. Are you ready? Number one, with your words are justified, your words will condemn you. Your words control your destiny. Your words have great control over something great. Your destiny is great. Where you end up is great. Your words control that. Where your life ends up. Amen. They do. Notice what he likens your words or the tongue. The tongue produces the words. He likens them to what? The bit and the rudder. Well, what does the bit do? It has some power. It controls a whole horse. Julie, can I tell a story? Is that a yes? Oh, thanks. Put you on the spot here tonight. Julie told me the story of the time. You're a horse person, right? You love horses. You ride horses a lot. You know a lot about horses. You do. But Julie told me about the time that she hopped on a horse. Oh, Kim Lynos must know this one. About the time she hopped on a horse, but what did you either forget or not do with the horse that you hopped on? A bit, right? What does a bit teach people? Because I don't know how. What does a bit do? So go back to verse 2. Go back to verse 3. I'm sorry. Go back. He says, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that with the bit they'll obey us and turn about their whole body. Is that a truth statement? Is the Bible actually true here? The bit will actually control and turn their whole body? So you hopped on a horse and forgot or didn't, whatever, however, but the moral of the story is it didn't have a bit in its mouth, right? So you had no control over that huge animal, right? You just had your muscles. And against a horse, that's not very good. And that horse took off running, didn't it? Right towards the fence. I mean, it was almost bye-bye, Julie. And you couldn't get that thing to stop. You couldn't get that thing to turn. You couldn't get that thing to, why, no bit in the mouth. And it threw you off, didn't it? And thank God you didn't die, but you got banged up pretty good, didn't you? Well, what does that example tell us? That bit, that horse isn't going to do that with that bit. That horse is going the wrong direction. With the bit, she can stop it from going the wrong direction. She can control that little bit. Can control that huge animal. How big is a bit? Like that big. You can tell I'm not a horse guy. I rode a horse one time when I was younger at Miracle Mountain Christian Camp or whatever. I don't know if it still existed, whatever I did. And I was so scared. I said, this thing's big. I don't want to get on one of these things. But anyways, a bit this big can control a whole horse. And he says that the tongue or your words are the same thing. Can control your whole life. Prosperity, healing, victory, joy, favor, protection, blessing. It controls your whole life. Wow. And he uses another example about a rudder on a ship or the steering wheel that the captain, wherever he turns that thing, that little thing in comparison to that ship controls, has control over the whole ship. Wow. Go to Proverbs 18:21. Control some things. I need to get my finances under control. I need to get this body of mine under control. I need to get these kids of mine. I need to get this business of mine under control. Come on. Why is that even a thing? Well, Proverbs 18:21 says, it'd help if I get to Proverbs and not Psalms. Pray for my spelling. Death and life. You know, you need to let that sink in. Death and life, two pretty darn significant things. Death or life can't be more on the opposite ends of the spectrum. You could say it this way, prosperity, poverty. I've been on both. They are opposite. Sickness, health, been on both sides. They are different. Right? Depression, joy. Fear, peace. Death, life are in the power. What's he saying? Whether death comes into your life, whether life comes into your life, are in the power or the control of the tongue. That did not have to go that way, did it, that day? Didn't have to. Didn't have to. Why? The bit had the power to stop that thing, to control that thing. Is it sinking in, people? You're writing the wrong checks at times. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. And look what it says in the next verse. A man's belly, or the verse before, I'm sorry, go to the verse before. A man's belly will be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. You mean not just because I'm a Christian? Nope. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And then it goes on to explain, how can a man's belly be satisfied by his mouth, and how can he increase with his lips? Because there's a principle you need to know. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, by your words, they'll free you or they'll condemn you. Blind Bartimaeus, what do you want? Your faith made you whole. What was his faith? He spoke what he believed. Amen. I know. We need to be confession cop on ourselves. So we just randomly say things. And notice what it doesn't say. And verse 21 we'll go to real quick. It doesn't say that death and life are in the power of the tongue or the power of the words that you consciously are aware of. No, it just says if you're speaking things, death and life are coming out of you. Oh, my back's killing me. Ooh, really? Oh, I'm just so depressed. I can't do this anymore. Is it ever going to change? Why me all the time? Oh my gosh, death and life. You're going to eat the fruit of those words. Why? Because by them you're justified and by them you're condemned. Oh, my kids are such morons. My spouse is such an idiot. I know. I'm telling you. By your words. Control things. You know, I wanted to have some control over something. You know, I'd tell my house testimony, but part of the house testimony that doesn't get a lot of the limelight, like the other, you know, what the Holy Ghost told me to say to the realtor, that really interests people, you know, it's exciting and fun to preach that too. But one of the things I was confessing for 3 years, I'd go on my walk with my dog Wrigley every day, except if the weather was nasty, I should say almost every day. And we get back to my house on 160 Park Street in Jamestown, New York, and it was that just little tiny house that I was ever thankful for. You know, it was a blessing to us, but I knew God had more for us. We needed more. We were moving into more. And so I'd walk to that house, and I would say when I'd get back to the house, every time I'd point to it. So if the neighbors saw me, they'd probably thought I was nuts. But this is what, every time I want to walk, I would end my walk with getting into my driveway, and I'd point to the house, and I'd say, I call you sold to the right buyer for the right price at the right time. And I would say, I thank you, Father, for when we get into our new home, whenever that is, for 3 years I said this, that we will have 1 week after we move into the house before we have to be out of the old house, so there's no stress. We can move into our new house and go get stuff for a week as we want and take our good old time. And I said that for 3 years, every day that I would walk that dog. I thank you. I call you sold, 160 Park Street, Jamestown, New York, to the right buyer, the right price at the right time. And Father, I thank you for a week to get out of that house once we're already into the new house. Now, it was 2012, because Abby was born 2013, and 2012 is when we saw the home that we're in now in the summertime, and when God gave me all that, we're walking in the woods, and the bugs are attacking Courtney, and the realtor's behind because he's got some severe golf injury, and I'm in the middle, and the Lord's telling me these things, how to get this house and how to get into this house that we could not afford, and he's telling me how to do it. And it's agreed on in the summertime. But remember, the one thing the Holy Ghost told me to tell her was that it doesn't matter when we close. She can pick any date she wants to. Well, she was waiting for her. They're building some places for, not assisted living, but it was like senior living that would turn into assisted living if need be. And so they're building these down the road from her, and she can't move out of her house. So one of the things when we told her that the Holy Ghost said to me, tell her she can move out whenever she wants, which in the natural would put us in a bind. If our house sells, we have no home. And we told her she could be 5, 10 years. It doesn't matter to us because that's what the Holy Ghost told me to tell her. So I told her that. When I told her that, that was wow. Remember I told you that there were people that offered full price and more for the house, but we got it for tens of thousands of dollars less? Not because I had a nice smile, but because of the things the Holy Ghost told me to tell this lady that made her feel comfortable that, wow, they don't need a bank loan. The money's in the bank, remember? They can move out whenever. She can take as much time. We don't have to sell our house first. All these things were in her favor. She said, I want to sell to them. I don't care that people are offering me tens of thousands of dollars more than they are. Well, that was all the Holy Ghost. But this was in the summer, and our house is still up for sale. And naturally, there's no way I can have two mortgage payments. No way. I can't even afford the new house mortgage payment that God's moving me into. And so we're doing all that. I'm saying all that, you know. And our house is for sale. And her house is a part of things or whatever they're moving into, this home that she's moving into, is being delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. And then naturally, it seems like we're not getting to our house. We're not getting our house. But God's got it. If you give him your faith, he's got you. And it went from the time we agreed, which was in the summer, and right around June, I believe it was. Now, normal closing time is 45 days, 60 days, maybe 90 days at the most. I mean, it just depends on what you agree upon, but it's not more than like 45 to 60 days usually is when people close, and the new people that are moving in, they want to get into their house. Well, June went by, July went by, August went by, September went by, October went by, November went by, December went by, and she still can't get in because her house isn't done yet, and she doesn't want to move, and we told her. We don't have to, one of the conditions, you move out whenever you can, whenever your house gets done, you move out. And we get to June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. 9 months go by. Well, most people, when they're wanting to buy and get their new house, they're not putting up with this and they're getting frustrated. But here's the thing, my house on Park Street wasn't selling. So yeah, I wanted to get into the new place, but I'm perfectly fine staying in here. Well, her apartments get done or whatever, and we move in March of 2013. And guess what? I had exactly 7 days from the time I walked into the new place to get the old place cleaned out and taken care of. I had been speaking that and controlling that situation for 3 years. I was not condemning myself. I was justifying myself because I'll tell you what, that gets lots of people to mess. I know people that their house doesn't sell and they have nowhere to go. I know people that it's such a stress that they got to get out of their house before the new house is ready. It was peace for me. Why? That's what I controlled. I'm just going to leave it to chance. Have a little foresight. Why? Because the bit can control a huge horse. Ask Julie. Well, that was a huge situation. You know how peaceful it was to move into a new house and not have to rush to get out, to have 7 full days to go back and just, okay, let's get this kitchen stuff out now. Oh, okay. And then still be able to sleep there if we need to. It was heaven on earth. Usually moving is a stressful time. It wasn't for us. But you know what Pastor Mike was doing for 3 years? Writing checks that I wanted cash for the future. Controlling my situation with my words. I've said this to you before. Why do I speak over my children every single day? Every single day. Why? I have authority over them. They don't have faith right now. They have a little bit of faith. Caleb has more faith than Abby. But they don't have faith like Daddy does. And I have authority over them. Just like Jairus had authority over his little girl getting healed and not. Think, well, God, I'll just leave it up to chance. Jesus will do it. No, Jesus would have just healed Jairus' daughter if he could have, but he couldn't. Needs mom and dad, or whoever the caregiver is, you know. I say every day over my children. Now, I'm not saying this to put on a show in front of you. I'm just saying what I do every single day for my children. So much so now that when we pray at night, Abby will start saying what Daddy says. She says, first of all, she always talks about, Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you that we have a dog on earth, and Wrigley's in heaven playing ball with Jesus, and Willow's on the earth playing ball with us. And she'll say, Father, I thank you. We're blessed, highly favored, mighty on this earth. We're honorable, we're peaceful, we're obedient. Why? Because she hears Daddy say it. I speak over my children, and I say that my kids are like the arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior, except exactly what the word says. What's that mean? A mighty warrior has arrows? That means they hit where they're going. That means those arrows are sharp. That means they hit the bullseye. I say, my kids hit the bullseye. My kids fulfill the plan of God. I say, my kids will walk into every single thing you have for them. What am I doing? Writing a check. I want cash for them in the future. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years went by of me pointing to that house. And it seemed like you're just saying. No, they were just getting reserved for when the date was needed to be cashed. So that's why I say stuff over my children. I speak things over my body. I speak things over the ministry. I speak things. Why? By my words. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I don't think number two and three are going to take as long. So number two is found in, go to James chapter 3 and verse 3. So, James chapter 3, where are you, James? Don't hide from me, James. Getting anything tonight? James chapter 3 and verse 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn. Now, Julie, I'm not picking on you. I'm not trying to pick on you. But that horse was headed for what, a fence? And what, it threw you off, and what'd you hit? You landed in the water trough. I mean, this gets better and better. In the water trough that was filled with water. Now, let me ask you a question. When that horse is running towards that fence, you probably had a revelation. I don't have a bit in its mouth, right? Now, if you would have had a bit in the mouth, would you have been able to turn him? So a situation's going in a wrong direction. And the Bible says with the bits, we turn the horse's body. It was... The Lord tried to tell Julie, you don't have to end up in the water trough. Just put a bit in the horse's mouth, right? Well, he's saying your tongue is like that bit. What? Yeah, you're headed down the road of poverty. Yeah, you're headed down the road of depression. Yeah, your kids are headed a certain way. Yeah, your life's headed a certain way. Yeah, your business is headed a certain way. Yeah, your marriage is headed a certain way. Yeah, whatever's headed a certain way. But you can turn that thing. That was a big horse, and it was running like, I mean, it was taking off, but with a bit, it would have turned that thing. Good. You can turn your situations. How did that Pastor Mike turn a situation of abject poverty? Pastoring and starting a church of $2,000 short a month. How did I turn that situation? Simply with the bit. With my tongue. Every day, I would say when I would feed Caleb, Father, I thank you. Every bill is paid on time, all the time, every single time. Father, I thank you for supernatural debt payoff. Not keep going further into debt, but pay off debt. Father, I thank you for a salary when there was no salary on the horizon. I thank you for insurance when there was no insurance on the horizon. What I do? Turned the negative into a positive. With what? My words. Now, God's power, but God's power flows in our words. So please don't think I'm, Pastor Mike, you're awesome. You did this. Without God, our faith is worthless. Without God, our words don't mean anything. So please don't misunderstand me. It's his power flowing through it. And without that, we're nothing. But he needs our words because it's the pipeline to flow the power through. And I turn that situation. What situation do you need turning? Without a bit, we see you can't turn it. And the end result's not something you want. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. Number three, go to verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now, that is a little bit wordy in the King James. The Message Bible just brings it down so simple. Listen to what that is saying in verse 5. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. Now, what this is meaning when it says here, behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. He's saying the easiest way to understand this is a forest fire. A forest fire doesn't need a building of this size to be on fire put in the forest to make the forest fire go off. All a forest fire needs is a spark. And it starts small, but see how great a matter a little fire can kindle. See how great something big can turn into just a little fire. A little match. You light a match and you would say, that's not a great fire. That match can burn down a whole forest. That little flame that's on the end of that match can take down acres and acres of trees and things. Amen? But let me say this. Not all fires are bad. If the wrong spark can create the wrong fire, and the Bible likens the tongue to, and the tongue, the Bible says even the tongue is a little member, boasts great things. And then verse 6 is the tongue is a fire. Well, not all fires are bad. What am I trying to tell you tonight? Starting tonight, let's spark a forest fire of blessing in our life. How are you going to spark that? By what you say. If the tongue can produce death, which would be a forest fire for bad, let me just read this. How many of you know there's things called prescribed burns? What does that mean? They actually set the mountainside or the woods on fire on purpose. Well, why in the world would you set fires on purpose? Because not all fires are bad. Let me read you about prescribed burning. Prescribed burning is used for a variety of reasons. One of the most notable contained burning benefits is to maintain the health of an existing natural area containing native plants. The fire helps manage weeds and other growth and thus helps to reduce the risk of wildfires, but can also, I'll get to that in a second. So number one, what does it say? Help you where you're at. Spark a fire for your life with your words to help maintain, to keep you blessed, to keep you where you're going. But then it says this, but it can also help restore nutrients and help lead to a more desirable plant growth in the future. Woodlands, prairies, wetlands are perfect natural communities for contained fires. Not only will the fire help, the right kind of fire help now, but it sets you up for the future. We already know the tongue can do great things and bad things. It can produce death and life. And we know the tongue can set a fire. But not all fires are bad. How about we spark some good fires tonight? What would that look like? Okay, you know, you ever seen someone trying to start a fire and they have a flint, you know, and they'll put some, kindling down and they'll hit that flint and you'll see it spark. You'll see it spark. And they're trying to get that spark to catch that kindling and then it starts a little fire and then you start adding more to it, right? But it starts with that spark. You know what it would start like with you tonight? Walking out of here and saying, my finances are going to be different from now on. That's a spark. And then you know when you get a spark and you have a campfire, you know, you ever seen people get down and go, you blow on it and you see, and it, because the air, I'm not a scientist, but it does something good for it. Seems like in my head you blow on it, it would take it out. That's how I get rid of a match. But you blow on that thing, you know what, blowing on that, my finances are going to be different. Going to bed tonight, oh, money's coming to me. Adding stuff to it. Dumping gasoline on that thing. That'll make the flame bigger. This sickness is going away. Spark. Healing's mine. Adding stuff to it. Let's set off a fire of blessing. Why? We see fires can bring blessing too. Amen. Mark 11:23 says, you'll have what you say. Start saying the right things on purpose. What do you do when you do that? You're controlling things. You're turning things. You're setting things up in the future. The words that you say today will be the life you live in your tomorrows. Amen? I am going to start. You see, well, I'm just calling things the way they are. The Bible doesn't say to call things the way they are. The Bible says to call those things which be not as though they were. You speaking about how sick you are and how depressed you are and how broke you are. Yeah, you're stating facts, but that's not changing or turning your situation. Calling it how it should be and how it's going to be and what the Word says. That's what God does and God told you to do. Amen. We're helped tonight. Why? Because the Word's so great. Man, I think of all the testimonies that I have that from speaking things into existence. Amen. Father, we love you tonight. We're just so thankful and so grateful for the Word of God. Father, we worship the name of Jesus. We praise the name of Jesus tonight. Father, we love the name of Jesus. We're just so thankful. We're just so grateful for all that you've given, for all that you've done for us. Father, I pray that there would be some sparks set off tonight, and people would meditate on this and check up on themselves. The Bible says, let a man examine himself to be whether or not he's in the faith. We need to examine. Are we in faith? Are we saying the right things? Are we keeping our minds right? Are we confessing right? Are we in the right mindset? Are we in faith? Because if we're not in faith, blind Bartimaeus was in faith, he received. The woman with the issue of blood was in faith, she received. All things can be possible if you'll be in faith. You'll be in the receiving realm. Father, we thank you and worship you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify you. Now, I know as I look around this room, everybody in here is born again. I know that for a fact. So, Father, we thank you for heaven and for eternity. But I just want to take about 5 minutes. You know, we had corporate prayer before. But I want to take 5 minutes, just wait on God, you know. And we'll pray out mysteries and tongues. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, I do encourage you to find out more about that, you know, and get a hold of me and help. We've had so many people filled with the Holy Ghost recently. It'll change your life. I'll just say it this way. I don't know everybody in here what your life is with the Holy Ghost, but I was listening to a message. You can look up here. I was listening to a message by Brother Hagin, and Brother Hagin was talking about when he got filled with the Holy Ghost and how people in the church that he pastored started saying to him, Brother Hagin, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. There's something different about you. And if I remember the story right, wasn't led to yet tell him what it was. There's something different about you. There's something different about you. Well, is it good or is it bad? And they say, well, it's good. Your messages have a lot more power. This is a lot more faith. Well, then he finally told him he was filled with the Holy Ghost, got other people filled with the Holy Ghost, and their life changes. See, here's the difference of being filled with the Holy Ghost and not being filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus said if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have supernatural power. Jesus said if you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you have supernatural power. That's the difference. The very first thing that Jesus told the disciples was, you need to get this. You need to get this. Why? Because you need power. So I want to encourage you, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, it's a subject that's been weird to you, you don't understand, don't leave it in the not understanding category or it's not for me category. You don't know what life will be like with supernatural power. It's way better. It's way better. Amen. So let's go ahead and let's just lift our voice and we're going to pray. We'll pray. Let's see here. I got 7:13 on my iPad. We'll pray till about 7:18, 7:20-ish around there. We'll close it up and we'll be done. But let's just pray out God's plan. And if he wants to do anything else in this service, he'll reveal it to us. But Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the blessing of the Holy Ghost. Now, Father, I thank you for the power of prayer. You said in James chapter 5 that if we pray, power would be made available. Tremendous power, dynamic in its working. So, Father, I thank you. As we lift our voice and pray tonight, power is made available. Power to do the plan of God. Power for us to walk in victory. Power for us to receive all that you have for us. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you said if we pray in an unknown tongue, our spirit prays and that we speak directly to you, Father. So our minds might not know and our flesh might not be involved. But, Father, we trust the Word and we rest on the Word. So, Lord, I thank you as we lift our voice tonight and pray in tongues, we can be confident, according to your Word, that we're praying to you, that we're speaking to you, that we're praying out mysteries, that power is being made available. And, Father, you said that the Holy Ghost, when we pray in tongues, he gives us utterance according to the perfect will of God. So, Holy Spirit, help us to pray out the perfect will of God for this service tonight, the rest of the service, and for the plan of God in this region. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, take off praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Madre des candoscatra. Dedo sobotosca dresca martes quento tosotata. Netes cotrate sebetos combronda. Vrete sebetos cotrono sombrombo moto. Drate sedre. Nabasate, matrosotro, momomotro, soblomotro, soblototro, sotro, yeste, teste, tre, danra, mama, mama, tosco, tropo, sota, dasse, tre, tete, notrasquetesco, bruto, samratase, nesedrengo, tosco, tra, defendeto, boto, sotra, nesetete. Late secoto sotromo, no socotro sotromo, tosatete, drama tasetre, betesco troboscatra, yes, atate se, yep, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around and change, turn around and change, turn around and change, atratesque, rotasquetre, tosopotoscateta, sabreta se, letoscodrota, sambratesete, vletosombrotoscatraste tete, trate se motoscotrada. Drate se dromoscotromata. Drena madra skundru tu subrute seke tu doskotro. Vreto sobro noskotra da sa tretete. O, brata siki ti semlama mate se. Drata se dreme se bleme koto sotro potoso. Oh, Father, that's good. Yes, I will share that. Na paso kopo toto. Na prateske trepese trepeske tre. Let me share this real quick, so it just dropped in my heart. Not saying anything is not good enough. Not what I'm saying is not just saying the wrong thing, like avoiding the wrong thing is not good enough. Think about what your words are. They're like a rudder and a bit. Well, if you just take away the rudder and the bit, that ship's not controlled anymore. The bit, take away the bit, we see what can happen. And you say, well, I'm just not going to say the wrong thing. No, 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 you've got to say the right thing to be able to turn, to be able to control. You can't just not say anything. Amen? It's good to not say the wrong thing, but you can't just stay quiet. A person that stays quiet is like a ship, because the Bible says your tongue is like the rudder. It's like a ship that has a rudder, but it's not being steered. You can put the bit in the horse's mouth, but just because the bit's in the horse's mouth, the horse isn't going to turn on his own. What do you have to do? You have to use the reins. So just your words and not saying anything, it's like a horse with a bit in his mouth, big deal. A ship with a rudder, it's like someone that's not behind that rudder steering that thing. Amen. Got to say the right things. Got to say the right things. Not just not say the wrong things. Yeah, that's why we say it. 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 You don't keep the you keep saying and saying and saying and saying until you get to the end. Yeah, yeah. The guy on the rudder stays on that rudder till they get into port. That's right. And the person on the horse stays on the reins until they get to where they need to go. And so that's why you just keep saying, you just keep saying, you just keep saying till you get into the port, till you pull into your blessing, till you get to the stall of your blessing. You just keep saying, you just keep saying, you just keep saying, you just keep saying, you just keep declaring, you just keep saying, healing's mine, healing's mine, healing's mine, prosperity's mine, victory's mine, my kids will serve the Lord, that situation's turning, that situation's saying, you don't stop saying it, you don't stop saying it. If you stop saying it, it'll start wandering, just like the horse will start going its own way, the ship will start just wandering away, just keep saying, 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 yeah, but it looks bad. Yeah, but it seems bad. Yeah, but you can't let go. You can't let go. You can't let go. You just keep saying. You just keep saying. You just keep saying. For she said in her heart, if I may touch his clothes, I'll be whole. For she kept saying, the Amplified said, for she kept saying, if I just touch him, 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 healing's mine, healing's mine, prosperity's mine, victory's mine, joy's mine, that business is turning around, that situation's turning around, it's changing, it's changing, it's changing, it's changing. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, prokondaska. Tapete skotro mosokondale siketa dosotro. Blate sengotosko tromo noskotra daske tretete. Oh, bratasete. Oh, that's good, Lord. That's good. The storm starts raging out in the ocean, and the guy doesn't let go of the steering wheel. No, he holds on to that steering wheel. And that scriptural, hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised, Hebrews 10:23. What's he saying? In the times when it could be wavering, when the winds and the waves, when the horse takes off, that's not the time to let go of the reins. When the ship starts getting blown and tossed about by the wind and the waves, that's not the time to, well, it's not working. When the symptoms keep coming and the poverty keeps coming and the depression keeps coming, that's not the time to give it up. That's the time to hold on tight to what you're saying. How do you hold on tight to what you're saying? You keep saying and keep saying and keep saying and keep saying and keep saying in the midst of the storm. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for our help, for utterance from the Holy Ghost to help us, Lord. We thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Yes, abrande que tosco tradiskitis kobuta shada etosko narata. Vletoso kombatashketos kotrateskete.
Dresta ma de getos codromotos cotrosa patete. Vrendos con brotos o trabetes que tretes que tre. Eto nos condras gendes que treme que te dese. Drembes cotromos o tromo cotare se que te tos o troma das tre. Bronta nas que tretes e tre.
Just like that service that Margaret came up to get hands laid on her when I called that out, there's a healing anointing here tonight. Now what's going to happen is I'm going to ask you if you need healing in your body to come forth. Now I'm going to lay hands on you. That's the point of contact. But what you're going to do is you're going to walk out of here, whether you feel it or not, or you get a manifestation or not, you're going to walk out of here, and you're going to keep saying that on August 6th in the 7 o'clock hour, Pastor Mike Anderson laid hands on me, and I received my healing through the power of God, and you're going to keep saying that, and it's going to show up just like Margaret did. Margaret was a great example. She had hands laid on her, and she just kept saying, even when the doctor said, I can't hear that heart, it's not normal, it's still the same way it's always been. She just kept saying, I'm healed. She just kept saying, I'm healed. She just kept saying, I'm healed. She just kept saying, I'm healed, and guess what? She's healed. Amen. So if you need healing in your body, come forth right now and stand. Jake will help you here. Anybody needs anything, I'm telling you, there's a healing anointing here tonight. We don't call this out every service. Why? I've learned the secret. If you be led by the Holy Ghost, you'll get better results. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord, for the healing anointing. Whoo. Yes, Father. What is that? Thank you, Lord. Whoo. I've never tangibly felt this before, but my hands are on fire right now. What is that? It's the healing anointing. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you that when I lay hands on these people, your power is going to go into their body from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And it will work towards a cure and a cause and a cure for this. It'll change the situations. Lord, they had the faith to come up here. They had the faith to believe in your word when it says lay hands on the sick. So, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, I'll remind them. Remember, your job is to keep saying, to keep saying. You might feel something. You might walk out of here with a manifestation. You might. We'll just have people wait, Jake, until we, in the aisle there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Okay, I'll start right here. In the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, be free. Head to toe. Head to toe. Now your job is just to keep saying it. Keep saying it, please. Father, I thank you, I'm healed. I thank you, I'm healed. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we command that healing power of God to go in her. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the healing power of God. From the top to the bottom. From the top to the bottom, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Father, we command the healing power of God to go in her. In Jesus' name. Now, when I pray that and ask that, it does. It's done. Say, well, I can still feel it. So what? We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, praise God. In the name of Jesus, be free from head to toe, Brandy. Head to toe. Hallelujah. Margaret, whatever you need, he did it for your heart.
I keep telling him that every day. I said, you healed my heart, you can heal this too.
Amen. It's going away.
That's right.
And you know the recipe.
That's right.
Receive it now, walk out of here, and keep your faith high. In the name of Jesus, be free, Margaret, from head to toe. Father, we thank you for that healing power of God. Gloria, are you ready to receive from heaven? Father, in the name of Jesus, be free from the top to the bottom. In the name of Jesus. Liz, you believe this? I know you do. That's why you're here. In the name of Jesus, from head to toe, be free from the top to the bottom. We command whatever's wrong and out of order there to go, be free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Linda, I know you're ready for this. You're ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, the healing power of God in her from head to toe. Are you ready to see God do something for you? He's going to do it for you. I'm telling you. Father, in the name, just close your eyes. Nothing to be nervous about. Just lift your hands high to him. Just say right now, say, Father, I thank you. Say, Father, I thank you. You're going to heal my body in Jesus' name. And he's going to. Father, I thank you for healing her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. Now, when you go home tonight, you say, Father, I thank you. I'm healed. You watch. It'll show up. It'll manifest. You say, my goodness, God's good. Amen? Praise God. Now let's just give Him praise and glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I need testimonies now. Now, when you start getting testimonies, don't you keep this to yourself. Why? We're not trying to magnify me. Just so you know, I didn't do anything. I don't know how to heal. I don't know how to have power of God. I just know that He's the healer. So when this, you get manifestations, let's have testimonies. But let's all stand up and worship Him tonight. Thank you, Lord, for what we've seen tonight, what we've experienced. And Father, we thank you for change. For those of you that just had hands laid on you, spark a fire right now. Say, Father, I thank you. My body's changing. My body's changing. My body's changing. And you're going to keep saying it and keep saying it until that ship arrives in the port of healing, praise God. You're going to keep saying it and keep saying it until that healing arrives into the right stall of blessing, praise God. We thank you for it, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Remember on Saturday we preached about the nobleman and his son, and when they released the faith, the Bible said at that hour, at that moment, the change began. Everything didn't change then, and the Bible still called it a miracle. So don't be moved if you still feel the symptoms. Don't be moved if you wake up and it even feels worse. Nope, you received it. The power went in. From this point right now is when that sickness has begun to be obliterated. From that point, praise God, we thank you for the manifestation, Father. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said with a shout, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you Saturday. Praise God.